The summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un ended unexpectedly early this week. The goal of the meeting in Vietnam was to establish a nuclear disarmament plan in North Korea and find a way to ease tensions on the Korean Peninsula. The United States and North Korea disagree over what led to the breakdown in negotiations, and so far, there's no indication of when the two countries will reconvene talks. Our next guest joins us now to talk about the politics at play and what the future could hold for U.S.-North Korean relations. Andrew Kidd is a professor in UW-Madison's Political Science Department, where he focuses on international relations and politics. Andrew, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, some of the latest reports out today, Andrew, before we get to these negotiations, the U.S. military apparently planning to end large-scale military exercises that they do in cooperation with South Korea. Do you have thoughts on that?
Well, that is the quid pro quo for what North Korea has done since Singapore and before, which is to end their testing of both nuclear warheads and missiles. So the one thing that came out of Singapore was this sort of tacit ratification of this idea that we will stop having military exercises with South Korea and they will stop their missile and warhead tests. So that seems to be an indication that that deal is still on the table, still operative.
Now, we had this meeting. President Trump went to Vietnam to meet with North Korean leaders. What was on the table here? What were the hopes of what would come out of this?
Well, the maximum hopes were that North Korea would agree to get rid of its nuclear weapons and dismantle its facilities that enable it to produce nuclear weapons, and that the United States would then take away all of our economic sanctions against North Korea and recognize them diplomatically, have a peace treaty, and basically restore good relations between the United States and North Korea. Those were the maximum hopes. They were always fairly unrealistic for a number of reasons. And more realistic hopes were that there might be progress towards those goals, but not actually reaching them all at once in one go.
We've heard two different stories about why the talks ended abruptly, it seems like, from North Korea and from the United States. What is your read on why they ended?
I think they ended because North Korea is very reluctant to give up its nuclear weapons and would like to get as much as possible for as little as possible, because they think that nuclear weapons are key to their survival, key to their ability to deter South Korea, deter the United States. So for them, it's no light matter to get rid of their nuclear weapons. They've spent enormous resources to acquire them in the first place, so they're not going to give them up lightly and for nothing. There's also there's a lack of trust between the United States and North Korea. North Korea thinks that if they give up their nuclear weapons, the United States might help to try to overthrow them at some point in the future. From the American perspective, if we were to get rid of sanctions in exchange for some demolition of some nuclear facilities, it might be that there's other nuclear facilities that we haven't discovered yet. North Koreans have been very cagey about how much they have, don't want to provide any accounting of that. And so we wouldn't really be able to know for sure that we're getting everything they've got in exchange for the sanctions relief and the peace treaty that we might offer. So there's a lot of mistrust on both sides, and for good reason, given historical legacies.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo had this to say about the end of the negotiations.
We are certainly closer today than we were 36 hours ago, and we were closer then than we were a month or two before that. So real progress was made. I think everyone had hoped we could do just a little bit better, but the departure was with an agreement that we would continue to work on what has been an incredibly difficult problem. Both sides are resolved to achieve it, and everyone walked away in that spirit.
Andrew, is it weird to bring together the two heads of state to have the President of the United States go to Vietnam without more of an idea of what they were working toward, without overcoming this really pretty basic stumbling block?
It's extremely unusual for that to happen. Normally, summits between, say, the United States and the Soviet Union during the Cold War or other states are preceded by very lengthy periods of negotiation at the level of Secretary of State and lower level officials working out all the details. And the summits are usually sort of public events where those deals are ratified, and maybe some details will be hashed out. And there are some negotiations like the Camp David negotiations where there's actual negotiation between heads of state, but those are somewhat rare. And the part of the problem is that the North Koreans have been extremely unwilling to negotiate with lower-level American officials because they think, with some reason, that they can get more out of Trump than they can out of the sort of working-level people, and even people like the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. So you've seen this pattern where Kim Jong-un sends President Trump very flowery letters, which Trump characterizes as beautiful and, you know, establishes, substantiates his love for Kim Jong-un and vice versa, and basically stonewalls the lower-level officials. And so nothing gets done in between the summits, and then the summits happen, and they are very unlikely to actually succeed under those conditions.
Talking to Andrew Kidd, professor in UW-Madison's Political Science Department, looking at the negotiations over this week between the U.S. and North Korea. President Trump was asked about the Otto Warmbier case. The American student stole, allegedly, a propaganda sign, sentenced to years and years of hard labor in North Korea, released in a coma, died soon after returning to the U.S. The president had criticized North Korea for this before, but had said that Kim Jong-un told him that he didn't have knowledge of that case while it was happening, and President Trump believed him, also referred to Kim Jong-un as a potentially great leader. This has gotten reaction from Republicans in the U.S. Senate. What do you make of what President Trump has had to say about Kim Jong-un?
Well, it got a pretty sharp response from his family as well, the Warmbier family. I mean, this is another instance in a pattern in which Trump basically says that he takes dictators at their words when it comes to a lot of issues, human rights issues, et cetera. He took Putin's word in many cases over those of his own intelligence community. He took the leader of Saudi Arabia's word about the killing of Khashoggi over the findings of his own intelligence community. And now he's taking Kim Jong-un's word that he didn't know anything about Otto Warmbier, when it seems hard to believe that that's the case, given that his case had become quite prominent long before he eventually died and was handed over and then subsequently died. So it is another point of criticism for people who think that Trump is either being strangely gullible when it comes to these foreign leaders or is for some reason pretending to be so.
Now, President Trump's predecessors had refused to have direct one-on-one meetings with Kim Jong-un. Apparently, Kim Jong-un and I think his predecessor, that it's been a policy goal of theirs just to be standing on the same stage as the U.S. president, to present themselves as equal players, in effect. Does just the existence of these meetings between a U.S. president and the head of North Korea, is that a propaganda victory for North Korea itself?
Sure, it's a big win. I mean, Kim Jong-un, his father, Kim Jong-il, would have loved to meet with American presidents. There's no question about that. An American president said no for reasons that have to do with the human rights record of North Korea, the fact that they oppress their people, they're one of the most closed regimes on the planet, and that they are still in a state of war with South Korea and have routinely engaged in provocations, shelling South Korean islands, sinking South Korean ships. So there's been plenty of good reasons not to meet with the North Korean leadership and to reserve that as something that would take place at the end of a process of reconciliation and concessions. And it was seen as a reward for their acquisition of nuclear weapons. It just increases their stature in the world. And to have Trump going over to Asia to meet with them repeatedly when they have done very little in terms of, certainly nothing in terms of getting rid of their nuclear weapons program, just halting the testing of it, seems like an enormous concession.
Andrew, in our last minute, what are you watching for next now that this latest round of negotiations wrapped up early?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, the thing that people are worried about is that if Trump becomes convinced that Kim Jong-un is not actually going to denuclearize, despite this wonderful relationship he thinks that he has cultivated with him, then he might go back into a more belligerent posture and start criticizing the North Korean regime again. The sort of tacit arrangement by which they have suspended their tests and we've suspended our exercises might break down. They could start testing again, and we could be back to where we were in 2016, where a lot of people were fearful that there might be some chance of war on the Korean Peninsula. And it might be exacerbated by the fact that Trump feels betrayed in some sense by Kim Jong-un. I'm personally, at this point, not as worried about that, because my sense is that Trump, for Trump, a lot of it has to do with appearances rather than reality, and so I don't think he actually would initiate war against North Korea. But we could certainly see a return to 2016-style polemics and name-calling and that sort of thing.
Andrew, thanks for joining us today.
All right, thank you.
That's Andrew Kidd, professor in UW-Madison's Political Science Department, where he focuses on international relations and politics. He joined us today to talk about President Trump's meeting with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Both leaders ultimately walked away from negotiations without a new deal struck on North Korean nuclear disarmament.